Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
Our special guest today is Major Manny Dominguez, the Defense Department's Medical Education and Training Campus's Chief Information Officer. Major Dominguez, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Let's start with some basics. The mission of the Medical Education and Training Campus. This is a new campus that's just being developed, so give us what your mission is.
Yes, we are basically going to be a tri-service organization where all the Army medics and Navy corpsmen and Air Force medics will start getting trained through here for off training in the future. Those medics are trained today in five different schoolhouses spread throughout the country. And so they will consolidate, come here, and it's a BRAC initiative. And starting in June of 2010, they will the courses will begin here, and they'll start migrating over program by program.
Five different schoolhouses that are all being BRAC'd together here. Now, where you guys are located where, and then how many people are we talking about?
We're in Fort Sam Houston, San Antonio, Texas, and the buildings are going up as we speak. They have been going up now for a couple of years, and some of the dorms are already up, and for the courses starting in June, July, as well as our instructional facilities. The dining facilities, one of the largest in the entire DOD arsenal there, and we have Camp Bullis as well for a field training site where they kind of go out there and do a simulation of training in combat environment, things of that nature.
And we're talking about how many people? Hundreds?
We have about 1,700 faculty and staff, and somewhere in the range of 5,700 students. About 24,000 students will come through here each year to graduate. So we will graduate 24,000 students on the average.
Well, that's incredible. So I imagine that means the courses are 6 weeks or 8 weeks, or there's a small set of courses.
Some are 5-6 weeks, and some can go as long as a year. The more complex, radiography type courses. But it's pretty impressive of an institution when you think about the number of folks coming through here. If you add up all the service academies, Naval Academy, West Point, Air Force Academy, and you multiply their numbers times two, that's pretty much what we're going to be graduating per year.
Now, that puts a lot of pressure on you as the CIO, because not only are you having to deal with the fact that this is a new installation, new group of buildings, but also you have a lot of young people coming in who have high expectations. So let's talk about your role as CIO and how do you support the Medical Education and Training Campus's mission?
It's a very unique challenge because obviously, I got here about 18 months ago and we were pretty much in dirt mode. I mean, not many of the buildings were up and there was no technology. The strategy for IT was really not set. And so we had to go from nothing to launching what's going to be the world's largest healthcare education campus in a matter of, 24 months from the time I arrived. And like I said, there's nothing but dirt. So it's one heck of an endeavor. So we set up our strategy to what kind of technology we wanted to have. We took a look at what the current schoolhouses had, what the services we'd like to have in the future. I was trying to have one foot forward as far as not just trying to build what exists today, but what the medic of the future would need to basically have that next generation, that 21st century schoolhouse that we wanted to build. And we set that strategy, we put the vision together, we put the planning together, we have our funding, and we are right now in full execution mode.
So have you ever done that before? Have you ever built something from scratch in many ways?
I have. As a corporate CIO for many years, I had to go to organizations that were expanding or merging with other corporations, and then I would have to build it new, build it bigger, morph in all those different IT organizations together. But certainly in my experience, and I have a PhD in computer technology, in my experience, I've never had a situation where basically you arrive, there's dirt, and in 24 months envision the world's largest healthcare education campus. That's an endeavor of a lifetime. And when I arrived, there was only one IT employee here. So that was pretty much not for the faint of heart.
No, I was about to say, 24 months is not a long period of time to stand up something like this. But at the same time, it must have been kind of exhilarating because you get to start with a blank sheet of paper and design a network and infrastructure the way you want it. There's not a lot of legacy that's coming with you. Is that correct?
Well, exactly. That was one of the things that attracted me to the job was when I realized that I had an opportunity to build it right from the get-go and design that campus portal, our website presence, our SAN, our Blade servers, our virtualization strategy, all those things that we did, live chat, we decided, hey, this is an opportunity. We really don't have to deconstruct something. Let's think forward and let's do it. Now, you have to understand that in DOD, just to get through an information assurance process, a DICAP process, you can spend 14, 18 months just to get through the process for one application. So to be able to stand up an entire campus technology in 24 months, when it takes that long for maybe just one app, is almost unprecedented.
Well, we're definitely going to ask how you did that because it fascinates me. But before we get back there, I want to talk a little bit about your office. You mentioned that when you got there 24 months ago, you had one employee who was a IT employee. Yeah. Obviously, things have changed a little bit now. Talk about the way your office is made up, federal employees versus contractors. If you can talk a little bit about your IT budget and the infrastructure itself, it sounds to me like it's going to be pretty centralized.
It is. We have a transition team, which is really what I'm assigned to as a CIO. The transition team was basically responsible from BRAC to stand up the organization, stand up the campus, outfit it completely with technology, and then hand it over to the permanent MedC people that will arrive to sustain the place. So from a TIO perspective, from the transition office, we were only one employee deep. And then even today, we're only like four or five employees deep. But the MedC sustainment crew is already starting their help desk. They're going to be about 49 people deep by the time that IT office is stood up. And I help design the personnel requirements for what they would need to run their institution. And they're very lean and mean, you know, 49 people to run basically close to 10,000 devices, you know, all the hardware, all the servers, all the desktop computers, laptop computers. That's pretty lean in today's environment. I did an analysis of several other organizations that had that many computers, and many of them were well over 100.
Are you going to be the CIO then permanently? Or, I mean, once this organization stood up in June and then maybe 6 or 8 months after that, do you move on to somewhere else?
No, I will move on. My charter was to come here and build it, and then I hand the keys over to a sustainment CIO, and he will basically, you know, run the operation day-to-day as it's been handed to him and tweak processes and make it, you know, and see it through all the courses that will be coming in. From my perspective, it's basically the BRAC stand-up portion of this project, which is to deliver the campus. And obviously, because it's a new campus and everything is designed brand new coming in, we won't have to refresh really any equipment for 3 to 4 years. So the new CIO really will be relieved of having to worry about, you know, replacing anything during his tenure here, which will be about 3 years. He was just basically make sure that we harden all those processes and have some lessons learned and do some metrics on how many help desk cases we're getting and things of that nature to tweak personnel requirements, things of that nature.
Now, you mentioned that since you started from scratch, you probably had a pretty significant budget for technology. Can you talk about what it was over the last 24 months?
Well, BRAC gave us a budget of about $42 million. And that was one of the things I was excited about, was not only starting from a clean plate and being able to design the strategy and the technical infrastructure, the architecture, all of those things, but also that BRAC from the get-go supported us very well, planned the project out very well, and this is one of the BRAC projects that they're very fond of talking about. It's ahead of time, it's ahead of schedule, and we're under budget. And so we really have no complaints in that perspective. The BRAC planned this out very well. They gave me the tools, the funding I needed, and we've been able to execute because of that. That's been the biggest success story for us, really.
Ahead of schedule and under budget.
And under budget.
Yeah, that's two dangerous things you don't hear too often in the government.
I understand.
I want to go back in a second, and I want you to tell me all the secrets about how you did that. But first, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Major Manny Dominguez, the Chief Information Officer of DOD's Medical Education and Training Campus.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Major Manny Dominguez, the Defense Department's Medical Education and Training Campus's Chief Information Officer. Now, Major Dominguez, before break, we talked a lot about how you got to start this from scratch. You were 24 months. You started with a pile of dirt. Now you have buildings and a campus that's close to being ready. But the key words you said was ahead of time and under budget. So what was the key to getting that done? Because that is something you rarely hear on big projects across the government.
Yeah, it really is. One of the things we knew is we didn't have an option because there's a long tail in doctrine and in DOD as a whole. From the time you get a young man or a young woman at the recruiting station and going to boot camp, and then where they're going to go for their MOS school, their AFSC school, which would be here. So that trail begins, you know, that train left the station a long time ago. So we knew they are getting here at a certain date. The Gantt charts cannot move. The school must launch. So therefore, you must adjust your strategy and your risk plan here so that there's nothing that could possibly alter that schedule. You need to make it no matter what. So from a get-go, as I mentioned, some of the applications coming in from what was the existing schoolhouses coming here, we set some rules day one. And we said, if you're bringing in an application that doesn't have an authority to operate on a DOD network, that hasn't been DIACAPT, we're not even going to bring it. We don't have any time to get into a 14-month, 18-month DIACAPT process. It has to be authorized on DOD or forget it. Second of all, from the hardware infrastructure, same thing. It all had to be blessed by DOD. It had to be on an approved list. Same thing with who we use as a contracting office. Everything had to be very friendly to DOD, and we used those business rules to basically remove a lot of barriers day one, and that helped us move very, very quickly. We also partnered with some leading organizations such as MITRE Corporation, who helped us go out to the schoolhouses and audit what kind of applications they were using, what it took to run that classroom, interview instructors, interview students, interview faculty, staff, et cetera, and brought back those, you know, that information to us to help us align our strategy. From the funding perspective, we tried to make sure that we were within our budget with how many numbers of students we had when they would arrive, try to buy the equipment and negotiate hard with the vendors to basically, because it's a bulk buy. When you're buying, we're not refreshing 1,000 computers this year or 2,000 computers next year. We were buying literally, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 devices day one. So that the power quantity allowed our contracting organization to do some good negotiating there and get some aggressive pricing. And, of course, in a down economy, that doesn't hurt as well. So we've been able to accomplish a lot with a little and with very few people. But we're very proud of the results being ahead of schedule and under budget. And believe me, Brack's very happy, too.
Yeah, I imagine, without a doubt. I'm going to go back to something because you mentioned you weren't going to look at any apps that didn't already have the authority to operate. You weren't going to look at any new technologies, any new hardware that isn't already on the approved list. Did that affect your planning, your strategy?
It certainly did. If those types of processes weren't in place, you know, our IA and DIACAPT, which we know why they are in place, and they're very valuable to DOD to avoid, you know, any kinds of intrusion and things like that. But certainly I could have implemented technologies that were even far beyond what we actually implemented because we had to go with things that were already on a list. Or so we wouldn't have to start a 14, 18-month approval process, which we had no time to do. So, yes, we had to – there were certain decisions that came here and there where we had to scale it back and go with another technology that's already DOD-friendly rather than when maybe some other campus in the private sector is using, because they don't have to do this.
Did you end up having to say we're going to have to do something differently? I mean, can you give us any kind of maybe an example of where that affected you?
So, I mean, let's talk about a lot of the online tools. For example, there was a product that the Navy uses in one of the schoolhouses called Question Mark, and it allows to do a lot of the online training and testing and things of that nature. And although it had been used, it never had a authority to operate, never had gone through the DIACAPT process. But when you look throughout DOD, private universities, Blackboard was the tool that had a DIACAPT, had all the approvals, and was being used throughout DOD on a grand scale, like hundreds of thousands of licenses. So at that point, I had to propose to the business and say, listen, you want to launch on time, you have to go with the products that are already approved by DOD. You have to know when to cut bait. You have to. These are the options. Or else you're going to have students here, and those tools will not be here because it's going to be this application you want to use will be in the pipeline to try to get DIACAPT approved. So they realized right then and there they needed to go with the product that was approved, it was on the DOD list, it was being used very widely throughout DOD. And by the way, something like 70-80% of campuses in the private sector use Blackboard. So that was one of many instances where we had those kinds of decisions. It's kind of very, very similar to, like, right now I'm sitting at my desk with an Apple iPad, and I'm looking at our site on it and seeing how it configures, because students might buy their own and show up here one day like they show up today with their iPods. And we wanted to make sure things are very friendly to those devices. However, if this was a private institution, let's say this was any university out there, like I heard a university yesterday bought 8,000 iPads to deploy to their students upon arrival to school. Something like that would be something I would consider, but certainly it's not a device that's approved yet, and DOD hasn't gone through the process. It just arrived. So it's one of those things where you can't get everything you desire. You have to play within the constraints of the system.
You know, you're only in your position now for a few more months, and you have that launch date of June 2010. So what do you still need to get done? What are your priorities?
Well, my priorities clearly are to get the classes ready. They're going to launch first and in order of their launching. So we are outfitting right now all the computers that are going to be in the dorms so the students can do training after hours. We're launching all the computers in the classrooms that are going to be launching in June and July and August. We're doing them in order of the classroom standing up. Smart podiums, wireless networks. At Camp Bullis, because it's a field training site, we're actually putting in ruggedized laptops with MC4, the electronic health record that we use out there in the field, along with 2-mile radius wireless hidden in the trees out there. So we're doing a lot of exciting things to provide that leading edge training, along with awaiting the IMIT staff that is slowly starting to trickle in now that are going to be sustaining this. That's pretty much our focus. In addition to that, we're now at the endeavor where we are asking each one of the 5 schoolhouses, hey, give me all your data, all the student files, all the faculty staff files it takes to run a course. Give me all that data. And there's just, you know, terabytes of information that's coming over, and we're starting to load it in our SAN so that all that will be readily available upon faculty arriving here.
All right, you mentioned a couple of things I want to touch upon. 2-mile radius for wireless. How do you secure that?
Well, they have to be encrypted according to the DoD standards. We're using Cisco equipment, and it's encrypted. The 2-mile radius is a coverage area, but there's a lot of wireless access points throughout that area to cover it. It's mostly in the trees and the woods out there where the field training site is. And so DoD has a standard for wireless. That's what we had to comply with.
But you're putting them outside, so you got to deal with weather, and they have to be ruggedized, correct?
Yes, they are ruggedized. They're made for outdoor use, and Cisco makes some equipment that's used widely throughout DoD that is available indoor, outdoor, things of that nature.
And then you mentioned the other thing is all the 5 schoolhouses are sending their data, terabytes of information, are using cloud computing, virtualization. You mentioned blade servers. How are you kind of dealing with that data influx?
We're actually doing all of the above. Our SAN, our storage area network, we're basically grabbing all that data that exists today. Files, things of that nature, are coming straight to our SAN, and that's the terabytes that we're loading. The applications that are on the servers, we work together with our vendors, our partners, and even MITRE, and we identified all the applications that were good candidates for virtualization on the servers. So we have already begun to virtualize those blade servers, make redundancies, and then that way we didn't have a massive server room that was designed from the get-go. It was, I would consider it to be pretty modest in size. So therefore, we knew that we needed to be small in footprint. And so we've done that, and we're virtualizing servers as we speak. And that's going to be a great deal for us and for the institution, because we'll be pretty lean and mean in a small footprint. In addition to that, I implemented a cloud computing strategy. I never wanted the institution to be an IT organization that, oh, by the way, trains. I wanted to make it clear to everybody this is to be a training institution that has leading-edge technology. So therefore, I partnered up with different organizations that have applications that are going to be core to us that they will host. The vendor themselves is an authorized DoD hosting center, and they will host our applications. We are basically users to that application, and we don't have to host servers. We don't have to host data. We don't have to refresh servers every few years or have on-site experts. It's turnkey cloud computing, and we've done that with a number of high-value targets that have really saved us a tremendous amount of money and able to give us the access to the application within 30 to 45 days, which is really unprecedented in IT in many places. And that's given us tremendous flexibility and kept the organization pretty lean as far as cost, the concern, and complexity.
Can you give us some examples of which applications that are core to medical education training campus?
Sure. Well, I don't want to get into specific vendor names, but I'll let you know that our asset management application to provide tracking of over 10,000 devices in our inventory is hosted by our vendor, and they are a DoD-approved vendor as well to host that information. They host many organizations today in DoD, as well as our live chat, which is a part of our website. Students, faculty, or staff can click live chat and ask a question directly to our campus support center and say, hey, my computer's broken. Where do I get a new one? Or how do I get this application installed? Or even a simple question as, how do I get to the airport? I'm out processing. I just graduated. You know, how do I get transportation? Literally any question, the live chat agent will be able to help you, and it will have a knowledge base built in too. So as you start typing your question, it'll give you a set of answers or responses that you may be looking for. It'll say, oh, are you looking for transportation to the airport? Yes or no, yes, and it'll start giving you the directions and the point of contact, things of that nature. The self-help tier zero, as we call it, to even keep our help desk numbers low in people, because a lot of the self-help is already there. We already have over 600 self-help answers, you know, frequently asked questions and answers already loaded in. Things like our live chat, our knowledge base, our help desk application, our asset management, and next to be is going to be our enterprise scheduling tool to schedule, you know, how many, if students come in, how many dorm rooms do we have available, how many classrooms are available to move students from one classroom to the other. That enterprise scheduling is very likely to be the next candidate as well. So we have a strategy that says, hey, we don't have a whole lot of server room space, so let's leverage our partnerships, let's leverage a cloud computing strategy, let's keep our costs low, and let's be able to ramp up in quicker time. And that's exactly what's happened here.
All right, very fascinating. We're going to have to take another break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about some of those things you mentioned about specifically some of the chat and some of the technology security issues. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Major Manny Dominguez, the Defense Department's Medical Education and Training Campus's Chief Information Officer.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Major Manny Dominguez, the Chief Information Officer of DoD's Medical Education and Training Campus. Now, Major Dominguez, before break, we talked a lot about what you still have to get done over the next few weeks, as well as some of the cloud computing technologies you're using. And one of the things you mentioned about cloud was the live chat part of the website. Is that kind of one example of some of the Web 2.0 social networking tools you're kind of implementing in the beginning instead of kind of coming back around the backside as many agencies have to do? And are there other Web 2.0 or social networking things you guys are looking at?
We're doing a number of things. Again, 18 months ago, we didn't even have a half site. We didn't have a website at all. We didn't have a design for it. We didn't have any requirements for it. Yet one of the things that was very foremost in my mind was I wanted to have that enterprise campus portal up and running before the first student arrived. Because even if we have the greatest technology, the greatest data center, the greatest help desk, what the students see and what the public sees is that site. So the site is very important, and even if the other stuff was slower or less modern, it's the front-facing image to the institution. So what we did, once again, because we didn't have a whole lot of time to pick technologies that are outside of DoD's approval list, we went with those that were. So we implemented a Microsoft SharePoint portal that we're using for both internal to our students only and also to the public-facing site. Our site, by the way, is www.metc.mil. That's METC.mil. And so our site will have not only each section for our online knowledge base, how to get support, newcomer information, access to our registrar's office, transcript requests, email for our internal folks, our internal version, hours of operation, our academics department, and all the programs that we teach, just like any private university, the campus maps, what student life is going to be like. And so we're also building in the next 90 days all the pages for every specific program we teach, so you can actually, as a student, drill down right into your specific classroom, see what your assignments are today, this week, this month. When are your tests? You can ask the instructor a question, go to discussion boards with your classroom, all those things. In addition to that, we're leveraging a lot of the links that exist now throughout DoD and migrating them within our site so that our students don't have to arrive here and have 59 links to different sites and, you know, 50 passwords. Everything is going to be centralized within the Metsi online website without them having to know all these different links and where they exist. Most of them are just coming out of boot camp, so they don't know about all these resources. So we're centralizing everything for them. And a lot of the social networking is beginning to migrate into DoD. MHS, for example, is already having a lot of Twitter pages and Facebook pages and things of that nature. And so we're basically using their tools they've created and piggyback on them and bring them into our site. Pentagon Channel, things of that nature are already there.
Imagine you feel like there's some pressure on you, at least, not just to get this done and do it correctly, but when you have these students coming in straight from boot camp, they're 18 to 20 years old, maybe a little bit older, but they're, or, they call them millennials. They expect certain technology to be there and they don't want to have to ask, well, why can't I use Facebook? Why can't I use Twitter? Or just why can't I do whatever I want to do? Did you feel that kind of pressure as you were developing your strategy?
Well, I wouldn't call it pressure. I called it an opportunity because I also wanted to provide those things, but I also needed to wear my other hat and be fully in DoD compliance and see what things they've allowed in other organizations. And one of the things we must realize is these students do get their information today in far more ways and variations as many of us did, a couple decades ago. So they are familiar with the Facebooks, the Twitters, this and that. But on the other hand, MHS is using those today. DoD is starting to gain more and more acceptance of them, and they're putting policies in place on how to use those and what you can and can't do. So I knew it was just a matter of time before those things would be readily available here, whether they'd happen before the launch of the campus or soon after, but they were coming. So what we did was we just built the platform for our site where those things can be plugged in now, can be plugged in later, or where we're actually linked to the ones that have gotten their approval now, such as MHS.
And real quick, you mentioned your background a little. Now, you're obviously leaving Metsi in a couple months. You're the transition CIO. So talk about how you got this position. Obviously, you're a major in the Air Force. How did you get to become the CIO of Metsi during this transition period?
It's kind of a crazy story, but, I served 7 years in the Marines as an enlisted man, and I got out, and I served. I worked my way up the IT ranks in the corporate world and got my PhD in the field, and served as a CIO for a number of organizations over 10 years, came back to the Air Force in 2005, and they rapidly asked me to come up to D.C., and I worked as part of the Air Force Air Staff for the medical service and helped them bring in a lot of latest technologies, tablet computing, helped them start wireless rollouts throughout the Air Force medical service, and did some exciting projects, both Afghanistan and Iraq, and deploying an electronic medical record, which was a first for the Air Force, and served under the leadership of, at that time, Major General Green, who's currently our Lieutenant General, who's currently our Surgeon General for the Air Force. And after being there for 3 years in the D.C. area, going back and forth to the Pentagon and delivering these projects, which we had tremendous success, I received a call for the startup of this thing called the Medical Education and Training Campus. And being that my role is to be a CIO, to be in healthcare IT, and to stand up organizations like this or deliver projects that are short timeline type budgets and no room for error here, that those are the kinds of things that have always excited me. And when this job came around and they asked me if I wanted to do it, I tell you, I have to be honest. I didn't have to think about it for more than about 30 seconds. I wanted to do it pretty badly, and so I accepted and came down here. And we've done the dance now for about 18 months, and we're getting ready to launch. And I'm very excited about the campus that these students are going to have in the future.
All right, unfortunately, we're out of time. This has been fascinating. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Major Manny Dominguez, the Defense Department's Medical Education and Training Campus's Chief Information Officer. Major Dominguez, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.